world is room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair, for hate of men will pass, and dictators die. Dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world, to fulfill that promise. Let us all unite.
Welcome back, folks, here in the Corporation Nation. We're talking to Daniel today. His website on YouTube, his channel, I should say, is Christian Remedy in Law. Oh, so Daniel, what's new up there in Canada? Have you been doing any more get-togethers, any more talks?
I haven't done any, if you want to call it seminars, in a while, because I've been down this very, very root of this completion of what it's going to be required to deal with the situation, the problem that we're all experiencing. And because I felt that it was, I wanted to basically make sure that what I had researched was completely correct and going on the right journey. And we saw a lot of turmoil at the last stage because, you know, when people don't know or get frustrated, they will lean on other people. And I admit at times I may have let myself be leaned on too much because you need to, this is an individual journey and everybody needs to do their own due diligence on it. But I felt it was time for a little bit of a quiet period anyways, just to make sure that the things that I had found were absolutely correct, that I wasn't in any way doubting what I was about to do. By exiting, and I am going to be taking the exodus out of this. So what you got into, you can certainly get out of. And there is ways to escape what I believe is coming. Because my concern on this, I watched a really, really creepy movie, which I think people have seen, which was Schindler's List. So it was, the creepy thing about the movie was the way that they portrayed how they got the people to actually walk into the slaughter. And it was mainly by them walking up to a desk and giving a surname to list themselves in the dead before they stripped them down of everything they had under that phony, fictitious imposed name, of which, if you look into the history of what seems to be a Semitic attack, it appears that figures like Napoleon imposed surnames on those that claimed they were Jews because they never had them. So they were actually imposing surnames to basically tag them, to track them. And so the surname idea is not a friendly, let's get all happy about it, family warming name. It's not. It didn't come from that. And more than not, it really has just tracked people in business. They were tracking names under business value and then basically collecting in on them. So I believe that what's happened right now, all these what I call debt certificates of debt, these judgment notes that are on the birth, we've become surety for it, and the piper's about to collect. He's about to call in the note. And they've sold all this debt to some very, very bad militant nations who want payment. And I believe that they've financed this through the U.S. dollar. They've mortgaged all the debt through the U.S. dollar. And nations that are pulling out from the U.S. dollar are preparing to make an attack on that dollar because that's where all the debt's buried. And so Canada is not exempt here, and every birth certificate that's been issued, most likely, in my belief, has been bought by the Chinese. When I went down the journey of this a while back, I did a due diligence on the Chinese currency, which was the yuan, and then I realized the head office for the Registrar General was on Red River Road, Thunder Bay, Ontario. When I looked up yuan, it said the Red River in Vietnam. And I said, are these guys running clues of all this? Are they literally bridge financing? Because you have to go over in a bridge, supposedly, to get to the office of the Registrar General. And don't worry, the Pope is really means bridge. And other things, fiction, feigning, all the things we could possibly think of, it's all connected in on this. The surname belongs to the church. The church was destined in the book of Revelation to fall. The her of Babylon, the great, is going to fall sitting on the beast. The beast was all the world nations that she's basically been involved in. The Pope is sitting on the UN. There is a reckoning. They know where all the money and the debt is, and they know that they're running the whole thing. They're the mob. It's a crime ring. And basically criminals aren't good to other criminals, so they're going to probably assassinate their own head criminal and bring in a new order, worse than the last one, what is called a new world order. And I really have a very strange feeling that the new world order is going to be set up in the new world, which was considered to be North America. So they're just going to set up a worse regime than they had before. And this time they're not going to be worried about courts of basically trying people. You will just be automatically 100% carrying an identifying ID artificial monitor in your body that'll let them know exactly who you are. You won't be able to play any game. I'm not the person.
Well, you kind of already are. I mean, at this point, we're already at that place where we're voluntarily carrying all that information in our smart technology, and we're voluntarily doing biometrics. We're voluntarily carrying around RFID chips in our credit cards, and everything is revolved around that already. So it's certainly not a big push to just make it a mandatory thing. I mean, generally that's how things are done. Is first you get people to volunteer for it, and then all of a sudden, without even comprehending that it happened, it's mandatory. The volunteerism just sort of takes a back seat, and it's impossible to live without the mark, right?
Yeah, and what's interesting, I was talking with someone from Ontario today who just watched the videos, and then I told them about the show to listen in on the show, and I said there's wonderful archived programs available to download, and I told them about other shows that other interviews you've done with other people, and some of the great things that you can find there. But while we were talking about in Ontario, they have what is considered the OHIP card, or the Ontario Hospitalization Insurance Plan, and you would get an OHIP card to get free, of course, medical. Now, it's voluntary. You don't have to be part of it. They'll just charge you through the nose if you use the hospital and sign for the surname, debtor name, they'll just send you the bill in the mail on top of it, which is kind of like what was going on in most places in the U.S. anyways. You were responsible for your own medical bills. But they actually, when you take the card and you put it in the light, they have the province of Ontario public symbol, which almost looks like a goat head symbol, something pagan I've seen in a triad symbol, three rings. I'd have to show it to you. I'd have to send it to you. But When you actually move the card around in the light, it actually shows the symbol on your forehead. And I said, could they have centered it like that by chance? Is it just because it's all over the card, but then it shows up there, but it's right on the forehead? Right on your head. Now, I think this is just a slow get everybody used to it. So start in the 1300s, start to impose the use of surnames. You have to be identified by that because we don't want too many Johns out there and Jims. So we need to have another name that identifies you, but I don't buy into that. I know there's trade names. They were identifier names for that purpose. They became state patents. And then basically the ones who control them allow you to use it because they need everybody to walk in on it as long as you're willing to sign for it. That's why Bouvier says that they can be claimed by none but assumed by anyone, which doesn't sound very good when you pick up these surnames, these additional names. So these man's person titles are basically the mark, the defect. And it's not surprisingly that most of the coat of arms family names that people are so proud of have animals all through them, which would also make them look like a beast. And the fact is that the head of the beast were called sire. So the kings were called by sire, and sire is a parent of a beast. I don't think they've hidden anything, but we've been kind of sleeping and getting used to something that's bad. It's almost like getting used to drinking poison slowly, but eventually it will take you out. And I believe they're about to collect up and cancel the hard way all these notes by either killing a large population of holders, sureties for these notes under the SIN or the Social Security program, or the ones that are left remaining are just going to be super, super debtor slaves.
Well, I mean, not to fearmonger or anything like that, but if you think about it, you know, they've got all their bases covered. They have created a state of fear that literally they have every possibility to waste society in any way, shape, or form they want, and people will believe that it was legitimate. They can release a plague, and they have people convinced that plagues just happen all the time now, and that it wouldn't be them that created it or patented it or anything else. They can, they can make zombies. They can do just about anything they want. They could even fake, with their technology, an alien invasion. They could do the whole Project Bluebeam thing, the false god, pumping God's voice into people's heads. I've been a victim of that firsthand. In New York City, there used to be a billboard that would pump through directed frequency, basically right into your head, the sounds of ghosts. And it was really freaky. People complained it was down the next day. It was very intrusive. When you walked by it, you could hear it in your head. I mean, these are all things that are possible. They're all technologies that are patented. You can look them up in the patents. I mean, it's very scary. They've got all the bases covered. They could, I mean, as far as the way to get rid of a bunch of people, I mean, Daniel, I hate to say it, but I mean, I had a science fiction idea that would have been a really great story. This sort of notion of the rapture that has overtaken people. I mean, you could make millions and millions of people just disappear, disintegrate right in front of your eyes. Targeted killing, basically. And people would say, oh, the rapture happened, right? I mean, you could do so many different things to bring on exactly what you're talking about and, again, false flag it to the point where people want to do anything you tell them to do for their quote-unquote protection. Now, we've talked about this before. But I think it's apropos to say that the word people, when we're talking about little people, the general people, means Gentile. It means pagan. Latin gentilis, from Latin gens or nation. Okay, so the people of a nation are the Gentiles or people of the nation. Same word, folks. They are the general population. Another word for that is the vulgar mass of illiterates. Citizenry, in other words. A pagan is a worshiper of false gods. Any person not a Jew or a Christian, a heathen. So there you go. I mean, you were talking about the concept of forcing Jews who are known to be international quote-unquote citizens. They don't give their allegiance, and they have a ceremony every year that takes away all, I can't remember what it's called, but takes away all notions of obligation, contract, etc. Every single year they do that. They are not people of a nation. That's the whole point. And so, yeah, giving them a surname, shipping them all over to Palestine and giving them a surname was the way to literally to make them into a nation of Gentiles without them even really understanding it. The Hebrews included the word goyim, or nations, all the tribes of men who had not received the true faith and were not circumcised. In other words, again, circumcised refers to being separated from the sinners, essentially. The Christians translated goyim by the Latin gentis and imitated the Jews in giving the name Gentiles to all nations who were not Jews nor Christians. In civil law and civil affairs, the denomination of Gentile was given to all nations who were not Romans, and it refers as an adjective to pertaining to pagans or heathens. Now, that is the definition of Gentile, which is the definition of one of the definitions of people, right? People. People, little p here we're talking about, folks. To stock with inhabitants. To people the United States. That stock, livestock, folks. To people a farm with cattle, or in our case, chattel. You see, persons in general. Persons of a particular class, a part of a nation or community, as country people, right? The commonality, again, common, general, public, populace in Latin, right? The body of persons who compose the community, the nation, the Gentile nations. You've called it before, Daniel, the G20, the Gentile 20, because nation and Gentile and goyim are the same word, aren't they? The vulgar, the mass of illiterate persons.
Absolutely correct. And so worse it gets when you go down looking at ID is in the what the idiots carry. And so idiot is an ignorant common person, in Greek a layman, an ignoramus. So isn't it quite common for people to say in the court, I'm just a layman? Well, they just said they're just an ignoramus idiot. So how does that sound good? People have said, I'm just a layman. I go, oh, my goodness. Like, what's going on there? But they don't understand what they're saying. And, of course, idiots carry ID. When they don't know who they are, they need a placard. It's called an idiot board. They use it in film. It's a placard to tell the guy what his lines are. And, of course, what do you give idiots? An idiot box. So now they tell them a vision. They call it television because they're going to tell them, they're going to tell the people their vision, and people will buy it as they did in 9/11. So I could be wrong on all these coincidences of the idiot box, the idiot board, the idiot who's carrying somebody else's trademark and doesn't know it. And then he joins a third party. Don't worry that the third party, the Third Reich, was also called the SS. Don't worry about the Social Security Program, the SS. And don't worry that the German currency was called the Mark, right?
Well, in the civil law, an unlearned, illiterate, or simple person. Again, an idiot or a fool, idiota. Well, that goes right back to what people are. You know, people are unlearned, as they say, the vulgar, the mass of illiterates. That's how they define us. So naturally, they need to act as gods over us, our magistrates, our administrators for the idiots. We'll be back. Stay tuned. All right, well, that was a false flag from RBN. God, they almost put us into false commerce there. Anyway, so the notion, you know, again, and Daniel, it's easy for you and me. It's really easy for you and me to admit very simply that we are idiots, that we've acted as idiots, and it's time to come out of that. It's time to go from a state of non compos mentis, not of the right mind, to a state of being in the right mind, because that's the only thing the law recognizes as not an idiot.
Basically, it's a wake-up to realize that, all the words we ever used, we didn't know what they meant, were when you're, you know, in that third-party position, you're a broker, and you don't know you're broke. And, of course, bankrupts are broke. But they don't know they're broke, so they pretend that they have money. And someone says, don't worry, you can pretend you're not broke. We're just going to give you this new third-party identity, and you can pretend you're not broke, but well, we're just going to let you use our title name that's held as a security pledge for all those people who didn't realize it meant debtor. Because that's why they don't carry those debtor names. You will notice that the hierarchy will actually sit on their thrones with only their given name. Because the given name isn't the debtor. That's the creditor.
Well, you know, it is kind of funny, the id, the ego, and the superego, right? That's Freud's structural model of the psyche, if I'm saying that right. So the fact that we're using ID to prove ourselves shows that we have an alter ego. The id is it, basically. Instead of I am, I'm it. And it's like it's a personality or a personality that stems from birth, right? It's what you show people falsely to identify yourself, your id, your ID, right?
Exactly. I mean, the system is so well set up, so well put together at times, it never ceases to amaze me the things that I learn about it. And I realize why they issue that birth certificate, because the birth certificate to me is a bankruptcy certificate. I call it a before Christ. And there is no remedy. It appears in there. And you're dead because your free will was not in harmony with the Creator's will. So you're in kind of like a dead estate. And when someone dies without a will, because without having really the moral true will, which I call the free will, that's the one that doesn't cost you anything when you're in actually your spiritual maker's will, then you're a part of his divine plan. But when you're not, well, then you're dead in sin. And therefore, you die intestate without a will. So that's why Adam and Eve, when they ate from the forbidden fruit, the knowledge of good and evil, intestate Adam and Eve. Because they failed the test. And we're doing the same thing because we're carrying the knowledge of good and evil in our name.
And when you die intestate, what is it? I'm trying to remember what that means in legal terms.
Well, you die without a will. Intestate means no will.
Right.
So you're actually without anything, and then the state takes over.
Yeah. Well, then that's what they're tricking people into doing, because you have no heirs. Your children are gone. And
you get with the will. Well, short for William is Bill. So when you get short with God's will, you get the bill, and you will be ill.
Jeez.
So there is remedy at the end of this show, Clint. We're going to tell people some good things before the show ends, because we're not going to leave them in that. Because what I'm working on right now, anybody can do. This is not something. It's the only thing that's going to block people is their faith in their real maker and knowing that good and what we really are will overpower this. Will overpower the evil. But you have to have enough faith in good overpowering evil. The only time evil takes over is when good gives up.
Well, yeah, and I consider very seriously the thought that this whole concept of, you know, Uber commerce, the quote unquote mark of the beast to buy, trade, and sell, really boils down to the fact that you have no other place to go to eat, to sleep, to drink, to be merry, and to be a slave. If you have another place to go, for instance, if you finally figure out that everything you need is on the land, is in nature, is provided for you by God, well, then you really should have no problem in giving up the notion of the mark, giving up the notion of being a beast, of burden. You should really have no issue whatsoever, but everybody has the notion, really in their heads, the illusion that nature doesn't provide everything you could possibly need and hasn't since the beginning of civilization, of man and of animal and of everything. That's the real kicker, isn't it? Is that there's this illusionary state that we need commerce. We need a regulated system of legal laws against God and against nature so that we have no idea where our food is coming from, who's making it, who's putting additives in it. We have no idea what the hell they've done to the God's creation to put in our food, to alter and genetically modernize and patent food. We have actually literally no idea where anything is coming from anymore. We're so separated from God and nature that we literally can't imagine life without it. And yet life has nothing to do with the fictional commerce that we're talking about. We're so enamored by it. We're so taken by mammon and by the value of things according to money and only money, including ourselves, including our labor, even our prison labor, that we can't imagine life without it. And, you know, it seems the answer is always, I've found, so simple. Now, the simple answer is get the hell out of it. Stop respecting all of the commercial things, entities, persons, titles, numbers, marks, tokens. Stop respecting them. Start looking towards the earth again. That's the only, that is the only, literally the only solution, is quitting the contract, quitting the relationship. Stop sailing on that sea of commerce. That's the only thing you can do to quote unquote prepare. It's either that or you take and be content, be consensual, and just go with it. Be a criminal element. Be in commerce. Never be innocent in your whole life again. Never relate to nature ever again. Never do anything in the right. Always act in the wrong. But, you know, that's, you expect what you're going to get, right? I mean, you have exactly. Two choices.
That's right. We're acting as a legal surety for a legal surname. And that's why they call the surname a legal surname. It's on a lot of the birth registration documents. It just says legal surname.
Yeah. All right. Hold that thought. We'll be back. Stay tuned, folks.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Wouldn't it be nice to have one product that replaces more than 10, saving you space, time, and money? HempUSA.org has a complete full-spectrum vitamin mineral detox formulation called Micro Plant Powder Gold. Micro Plant Powder Gold contains 101 vitamins, minerals, probiotics, and iodine, has a 100-year shelf life, and is a perfect addition to any storage shelter. Make Micro Plant Powder Gold your choice. Call 888-910-4367 or visit HempUSA.org today.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's
888-311-4311. You are on the road. Must have a code that you can live by. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go.
Back here in the Corporation Nation, a listener sent me an interesting definition of the word heathen, which comes from the etymological definition, etymology of the word. We know not Christian or Jewish, heathen man, but also it says pertaining to one inhabiting uncultivated land. And I find that to be a fascinating notion compared to what we were just talking about. One inhabiting uncultivated land, that describes the majority of us, doesn't it? Sitting in our homes, listening to the radio, not out tilling the land. To till is to cultivate, to plow, to tend, to work at, to get something by our labor, as opposed to giving or selling our labor to an employer. So it's to aspire to be something other than a heathen. So, I mean, you think about that. Even the word manure as a verb was to cultivate land or to hold property. The work with the hands to cultivate, to make, and to produce. So what is a heathen? Someone that doesn't produce for themselves, that only has the capacity to benefit their masters, which is not God, obviously. And so, you know, this really sort of brings you back to the notion that we are acting as heathens, as pagans, if you will. You know, some people might not think that's a bad thing, but when it comes to the notion of pagan, it means rural. It's kind of a hard word to, you know, it's like a villager, like a civilian, a rural district. And then district itself is an odd word, because district actually means to distrain or distress. Do you know that, folks? That the District of Columbia and each federal district that you live in, the word district means to distress? I mean, that's what it's talking about, pagan. It's literally talking, again, if you think about that as a simple definition of what we are and what we have become, what we've been made into, simple slaves that have no property, have no land, we do not till our own land, we do not produce for ourselves, we are dependents. We are literally in their district being distrained. That's what we are, and that's what these definitions really boil down to. When you actually get to it, you become dependent on the system, and when the system turns into what it's about to turn into, as Daniel's been describing, you might want to think about your disposition as a heathen, as a pagan, because it's someone who necessarily can and will be controlled just because we're not landholders. We're not doing anything for ourselves. Crazy stuff.
And based on most of the what we were understanding is they're aiding and abetting in a gamble game of a large lottery system that's based on whether or not you're going to wake up and see this or not. And as long as you're shirting or being the surety or the guarantor for the name that's not yours, you're like on a loan. A debtor has a loan, right? So surname is debtor. So you're basically being loaned the name, and most people don't know that. And then at that point, you're being the surety for the loan. So every time you go to the bank with that name, you're borrowing on the name, and they're lending you against that, and you have to give them someone else's security in order to get that loan. And you're, at that point, being the signer on it. Uniquely, though, you need a guarantor to get government ID, so therefore there already is a co-surety involved right off the top, because you can't vouch for yourself in that system. You have to have the government vouch for you. So the government, ultimately, in their own fiction, have their own signers who are really the surety, the co-surety for the loan. And then someone will ask me, well, how do I get out of this? Well, I said, as long as you're being the surety, don't expect the co-surety to come in on the co-signing of the loan, because they don't need to come in until you default. You need to breach the agreement.
The agreement, by the way, that is only signed by you. I mean, that's crazy when you think about it. All these unilateral, meaning I give up my rights to you without needing anything from you except a debt, an issuance of more debt. That's great, great. We're all signing these things, and it's just us. We're not getting anything for it except this pain that you're talking about that feels like a positive, but it's not.
We're shirting somebody's lie, somebody's make-believe system, and all day long you'll watch the population complain about it, saying how bad it is, but then they consent the next day to keep it going, and they say, but, you know, how do I get out of this? And I'm going, well, that's like, how do I keep on shirting a lie and making my life better? If we don't know the difference between truth and a lie, then we're going to get stuck under the lie. It's only implied that you are a surety for it. So when you actually sign it, well, then it's made sure at that point, and then you are the surety. You're the guarantor for your own demise. Implied is imp, which means devil, and then lied. So it's imp, lied. That's like insinuation.
Yeah, dude, I gotta tell you, man, since I've been doing this with you and with other, the whole etymology thing is so fascinating when you break down these words. It is so enlightening. I was in bed last night, Daniel, I kid you not, I woke up and I, you know, cause I'd been writing about the word noun, and a noun is just a name, so everything that is a person, place, or thing has a legal noun or name. Right? So, you know, how do you bring everything into a false jurisdiction? You give it a name, and you make people believe the name is the real thing instead of just a word, a fiction. So everybody puts everything they have on the name, never realizing that the name, you know, the spoon can be bent, but the word spoon cannot. The hunk of metal can, but the spoon is just a word. It doesn't exist. So, of course, the spoon can be bent. But, you know, I realized last night, I'm sitting there, I'm going, oh, well, okay, so if I am announced, if someone announces me, they're literally nouning me, they're naming me and making me appear. They're saying, I'm here, he's a noun, he's a name, he's a person, a place or a thing, right? To denounce, that means to get rid of the noun, to take away the name, to take away the status that's applied by the word, implied, I should say, the legal status. You know, these are amazing concepts when you actually start thinking about these, an announcement. You know, what are these things? Well, break it apart. There's noun in that word, and that means the legal name of the fiction. Well, okay, now apply the prefix and the suffix, and you've got this whole explanation of the word, just like you're doing off the cuff, which is amazing.
Yeah, the what's interesting, too, is like when you do go into that Genesis account on Adam and Eve, you know, when God came into the garden, he noticed, he knew what tree they ate from, because he already told Adam what would happen if he ate from that. And he says, from dust you are to dust you return. You'll end up just like the beasts of the field because they didn't have the same creation position as man did. Man was made in God's image, and certainly it didn't state that God made the animals in his image. He made man in his image. So what happened when they started to do something that was going to put them into the lie that was part of the account there were... Satan, who was already a treasonous conspirator, if you look back at it, he actually committed treason in a higher place, and he goes down and starts to get now the earthly creation to do the same thing that was breathed in the spirit of God into that form, into an earthly form, but it had the spirit in it from God. So this perfect earthly creation now was being lied to and said, hey, you can be God. So the first mate on the ship, on the airship, listens to this fraudster who says they can do something that they really can't do, and then eats from this tree, and then they basically start to realize they're naked, so they cover up and they put fig leaves over themselves. Well, amazingly, when he came in, he knew that they had sinned because they had eaten from the tree that he had told them not to, and of course insinuate, because they walked into the fiction, into the lie, and then they started to cover up their privates, which were in the open anyways before that. And so they started to cover up, they went undercover, and they're wearing fig leaves, which was probably a figment of their imagination. The creator didn't know what they look like, because he created their parts.
Well, yeah, this is funny. That's the tree of concepts, right? The okay. Tree of lost innocence. You know, you suddenly want to cover yourself up because suddenly you have the concept of vanity or of embarrassment or any, you know, this tree that destroys innocence. Well, any time you go and you pick a fruit, a benefit from the tree of fiction, that's exactly what you're doing. You're taking something that is not due to you, that you're getting only because of your participation in something that is not of nature. you're told not to eat any of that fruit, and that's all we do. We are it's crazy.
Well, it's interesting too about that, about the fig. Now, I know it didn't say that it was a fig, but I'm giving us clues that these big leaves they covered up with, and I'm kind of thinking, well, the odds are they actually covered themselves up from the same tree they ate from. And so if you look at the fruit of a fig, and we know the terminology, figment of imagination, basically giving someone the fig, the fig itself is a fruit that uniquely has seed, that has some that are true seed and some that are false seeds, some seeds that don't germinate. They don't actually, they're seeds, but they're not going to actually seed anything. So it bears a true and false seed in it. Which I think that's a little coincidental.
Or not.
So they ate from something that had true and false seed, and then man went into his figment of his own imagination to think that he could actually be a god when he was never told he was a god, because only a god could create, and man only passes on life or moves things around, but he can't create a blade of grass. He can put a seed in the ground to make grass, but he doesn't make the seed. He moves the seed around, so he's given all the things. So, and man has an unfortunate ability to mix things up, so he's very mixed up, very confused, especially when he puts true and false together. So it's not by chance that the guys running this understand that book, know what they're doing, and they put a true and false name together. And then they get you confused, and so you have to wake up and say, I refuse to be confused any longer, and stop being confused, stop merging, because merger means confusion and loss. So you cannot put two things together that don't belong. It's not impossible, but when you do, don't expect a good result.
Well, you know, someone, another listener sent me an email. It was a pretty funny comment. I got to admit, I laughed out loud. He said, did you ever notice that the opposite of constitution is prostitution? Constitution or prostitution? Prostitution. Oh, well, what about substitution? I must be somewhere in between. But I thought that was a pretty funny thing. So, you know, you're talking about confusion. Well, what's profusion? Right? What's the opposite? Subfusion. These terms fascinate me. I just can't, I can't stop thinking about them, you know.
Well, the language goes on forever, and remember, these letters and all the things we talked about in previous shows there, you can't look at a word anymore the same way when you actually realize that every letter is a message. If you look it up, they say, where'd you get that? And I said, from the dictionary, because a letter is a message. You send someone a letter, you send them a message. And of course, the biggest and the law is like a lottery when you don't understand the words that they're using, so you don't get the messaging. And therefore, if you don't get the message, you didn't understand the letters they sent you in the hieroglyphs of the hierarchy. But the hierarchy in the evil do not teach you. They don't want you to know. They just want you to be layman, ignorant, stupid. And
well,
you need to do due diligence to find out what's going on with these letters, in these words.
Well, I remember messenger is another term for angel. And, of course, the word sage is in message. And a sage, I think we all know the magicians of that are a sage. So, you know, you start putting these terms into a concerted order like that, then things start to really make a lot more sense. And you realize that the angels, those who called themselves angels way back when, were Anglican. You know, as I've been, you know, discovering this stuff, and as I've been writing, and I've realized that this whole thing, everything we're talking about, Daniel, every problem in the universe, and at least in our world here, is because of words and because of nothing else but words. Everything in the fiction is only words. All our beliefs, all of our truths, everything, which are all lies, are because words are all lies. Nouns are a lie. It's a name of something, not the real thing. A description of something is never the actual substance of the real thing. And so everything we do, everything we consider, everything we think is all in their language, in their words that we think is our own, that we think is some original thought that we have. And you realize nothing that we think is an original thought. Even when we, you and I, figure out these words, we realize that they're not our original concepts. We're just figuring them out. And the whole problem, the whole fiction is just words. That's it. That's all we're dealing with. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Heart problems were in my family, and I did notice these chest pains occasionally. I decided to try it, and I don't think I'm going to stop for quite a while. Nothing has worked as well as this product has promised to. I've taken, you know, supplements and that sort of thing, and never really noticed a difference.
Well, I turned 60, and when I went into the doctor to get my reports, the lady at the desk, she looked at it. She says, "Wow." I says, "What's that say?" So she came back and looked at my last check. She says, "Well, you've gone down half on your cholesterol." So she says, "I guess don't do a thing, only what you're doing right now."
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Free Your Mind returns to Philadelphia April 10th, 11th, and 12th, 2015. With a three-day conference featuring top-caliber whistleblowers and researchers from across the country who'll shed light upon our world's problems and bring forward empowering solutions. To get your tickets and to donate, go to www.freeyourmindconference.com. Free your mind. It's your world. It's your future. Empower yourself.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices and receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership, and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
Derivatives, quantitative easing, trade imbalances, recession, low GDP, nations close to collapsing, and subprime loans, foreclosed homes and people's taxes, Fed to bail out, too big to fail, AAA banks again. Fear levels rising as a US crash seems imminent, having smashed the debt ceiling of $14 trillion. Despite protests and clashes in Athens streets, the IMF imposed structurally unjust programs in Greece, where in fact the term right, economy folks. Entered our language from the Greek oikonomia, meaning
how... We're back! We're at the end here. Hey, I heard a commercial for the... Well, Free Your Mind Conference in Philadelphia. I'm going to be there. So be there or be square. Should be fun. I'm going to be there Thursday night, and I'll be in town till about, well, I think I'm leaving on Wednesday. I'm going to do a little tour of Philadelphia on Monday, and thinking about hopping a train and going to take another tour of Washington, D.C. I think it's only about an hour away. Everything's real close together, so should be an interesting trip. Again, always looking for people to hang out. So, yeah, should be good times. FreeYourMindConference.com. Yeah. So anyway, Daniel, last words. We're just got
okay.
A couple minutes here.
Quickly on it, just back to that legal surname. It's a legal insinuation, which really says there's no grace, there's no spirituality, there's no real creator, there's only this fiction. So man's on his own, shirting his own fate. He's actually signing his own death warrant, and that's basically how that is operating. And when people can see that, they're shirting a make-believe fiction of a whole bunch of bad make-believers, because that's what the Romans were professional at, which was romance, fiction, make-believe. And if you get caught up in that, then you don't know who you are, so certainly you're not going to be part of, you're going to be part of a an uncovenanted nation under the Gentiles, because that's what Samuel Johnson said in 1755, what a Gentile was, someone with no covenant with the true God, someone who is not part of a covenanted nation, who is actually with their spiritual creator. So, well, I guess then you're in the doom of the ones that aren't. So the relief here quickly, which I want, if we can maybe get people to do some little bit of due diligence on, look up under that intrusion upon seclusion. And what's interesting in there, there's a branch that deals with, there's one part of it that deals with the publication of private facts, which involves preserving the right of an individual to be free from the publication of true facts the common law regards as private and essentially nobody's business. Nobody corporate's business to have your private name on their state body corporate record. Now remember, when they went into the tomb to find Jesus' body, they found no body. So you will be a nobody when you're done this. You won't be part of their body corporate. You will not be a member of the public. Right now, you're consenting to be a member of the public. That's the taxpayers. That's the aggregate. Jesus said you had to forsake all. All means the collective. It means what you've been subsumed in as an individual that was unalienable when you decided to elect to be alienable. Now you're a debtor. Now you're an alien to the covenant of God. Before that, you were unalienable. So that's why custom says see costume, and then later says see suicide. It would be suicidal to be part of a debtor classification when you could be not part of that.
Yeah, well, there you go. I mean, again, the notion of private and public, you know, when Roosevelt said that everything in politics happens for a, through a purpose. In other words, nothing happens by accident. And the opposite of that is defined by them as an act of God, which is a purely an accidental thing. You kind of get the understanding that anything that is political is going to be a public entity, and everything that is accidental, that is not defined and described, is going to be of God. So it's that simple. Thanks, Daniel. We'll see you next week, my friend.
With financial uncertainty.